So you are welcome to episode 3 of season 2, or the 2018 season if you are like, of Rebel Yell. Once again, Dave Kent hosting, joined again by Kevin Galvin. No Colm Cuddy this time, he's in work unfortunately. We have come off the back of another victorious week, as is so often the case with Rebel Yell. First league game of the season on Friday night in Inchicore. From one of the most entertaining games I'd say we've done in a while. City coming out on top 3-2. Just about, Kev, really. The red card, obviously, a big impact. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But goals from Barry McNamee, Graham Cummins, and Kieran Sanya, the referee corner, gave City 3 points.
Yeah, it was a fantastic performance by City to get that 3 points. Obviously, given the circumstances and the fact that, you know, as we said, they were well under the cosh by the time... By the time the third goal came around, especially with, you know, the two goals, especially the second one being scored just after the half, must have made a huge difference to the game. Very difficult to reorganise after that, having just come out for your team talk and then conceding. You know, you're on the back foot immediately, and for the side to dig it out, there were some phenomenal performances. We talked about them on the night, particularly from Kyle Shepherd and Conor McCormack, really leading from the front and putting in the huge dog work. It bodes well going forward for Cork City.
Yeah, in terms of like the new signs and how they did, obviously the first goal, probably one of the best counter-attacks you'll see all season. 5 touches from one end of the pitch to the other. Great ball from Graham Cummins, who proved that he can do it as an assist as well as a playmaker. And then Barry McNamee in a lot of space at the far post. Excellent low finish. And then the second goal, Cummins himself striking it quite sweetly on the volley. At the back, though, there seemed to be a few almost nerves from Aaron Barry. I mean, an own goal, potentially 2 own goals. Nuts, had to tip away a header that went the wrong way. Second goal could have maybe done, second St. Pat's goal, I should say, could have maybe done a bit better. Would that just be a case of Benno and Barry just kind of bleeding themselves into the season as a new partnership, as was Ryan Delaney last year, or will it have to be a bit of maybe tinkering around from John Caulfield to get the right centre-back pairing?
Yeah, it might be a bit of both. I mean, I'm glad you referenced the Delaney example, because that's what I was going to say. I was going to say, look at Ryan Delaney. He was getting an awful amount of stick on various social medias when he first came in and kind of turned it around, and now is looking forward to a date in Wembley with Rochdale. But, you know, I suppose Danny Kane is there. We're not short of centre-backs this season. John Dunleavy still has to come back from injury. He can also play centre-back. So I hope that Aaron Barry, I presume he will start next week. I think it's probably just a case of settling in. It was not an easy game to begin with. It was difficult conditions. Pitch was very, very heavy. And obviously down to 10 men for the majority of the game meant we were on the back foot for a lot. So I wouldn't be too quick to write off Aaron Barry yet. I think he's a good player. I think he will settle in with Benno. Benno, who had a phenomenal game again the other day. But yeah, I think Barry will do well. And I think Kane will be more than a capable stand-in, or maybe even might take that position depending on how the season goes, but I wouldn't be too worried about our centre-back position.
Yeah, you mentioned it there. The main talking point coming out of Friday night, and one that Soccer Republic focused on yesterday, was the dismissal of Graham Cummins. At the time, all three of us on the commentary stream called it that it looked incredibly harsh. I was saying that I'd wait for the replay on Monday to decide, and having seen the replay and having seen photographic evidence from Patrick O'Sullivan as well, it was a shocking call for a red. Yellow I could probably go for a push at, but like there was no, as you rightfully made the point on Friday night, no intent, didn't seem to be very much contact. Toner made a big meal of it, and unfortunately now Graham Cummins is out of the Waterford game. I would imagine the FAI Disciplinary Committee are meeting on Wednesday, as far as I'm aware, to decide extra punishment. City have appealed it, so surely he won't be banned from more than Waterford.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought so. I mean, I said on the night that, you know, in the context of the game, it didn't make any sense as to why he would do that. And I think one of the reasons why that decision was made, I actually think that Rob Harvey was going to go for a yellow, and the assistant on the near side, the linesman, changed his decision, perhaps due to the reaction from the St. Patrick's Athletic players. They certainly We were talking before the press conference today, and somebody said quite interestingly, when Toner went down, not a single Pats player went to him. They all went over to Graham Cummins and over to the referee, which is a telling. You know, I think it's pretty telling. I think it was a complete overreaction from the Pats players to get around Cummins. You could see from Cummins' reaction that there must have been contact, whatever small contact, and he immediately went over to apologise. We said that night that it was Cummins' first sending off. So in the context of everything, having just scored and having just put your team 2-0 up, it would have been wildly out of character and wildly out of context to do that. And I can't understand why the referee came to the decision that it was intentional, other than the fact that there was a collision between the two of them. And if you're leaving chance to that, because that for me is one of the most obvious examples of where it isn't a red card. And if it's getting to the stage where, you know, it's kind of a 50-50 decision every time something that happens, and it's up guesswork by the referee and the linesman, which it must have been in this case, then I think it's going to be very, very bad for the game. So hopefully common sense will prevail and his ban is rescinded. But I think it's a bad indictment of the system, in that even when a referee makes a mistake as obvious as this, the player still has to sit out a game ban.
Yeah, I mean, and obviously it's one less goal-scoring option up front on Friday, which would have left us one down up until about an hour ago, when City confirmed the loan signing of Michael Howard from Preston North End. An 18-year-old has been with Preston since age 8, which was only 10 years ago. You were 15, myself and Cuds were both 12, which begs the question, what the hell have we done with our lives?
And to think, when I was 15, I was actually reasonably okay at football. I've just gone down since then. The Howard thing is interesting because John Caulfield alluded to perhaps a low signing in the next 24 hours, but he said nothing that would replace Graham Cummins. So obviously he doesn't feel that Howard, which I'm not really surprised given the fact that he's 18, is going to come straight into the team on Friday and take over from Graham Cummins straight away. Could very well be on the bench. I think John will want to have a good look at him in training. I know that John is very keen on taking on loan players that don't necessarily have to be played, because you don't want to be held ransom by clubs. And you know, the Howard thing is, I suppose he's a young player. He seems to have done well with Preston, and he offers a little bit of you know, youthfulness and perhaps a burst of pace up front, which could be a good thing. We'll see what his finishing is like. I do know that Josh O'Hanlon will not be available for tomorrow night's game, or Friday night's game, sorry, because he's still out, and he'll be out for another couple of weeks. So that leaves basically Carl Shepherd as the only real recognised striker up front. So presumably there'll be some combination of Shepherd, Keohane, McNamee and Sadlier as a front four, whatever way that's pushed around, and then Morrissey perhaps coming in, defensive midfielder, if he can get that injury that he's been carrying sorted. So it'll be touch and go for Morrissey. Otherwise I don't know what John is going to do. Would he just play a straight 4-5-1? We're not sure.
Yeah, I mean, my whole reaction to this is that Howard is now a backup to a backup. Because say all of our striking options are fitting well, we have Howard until June. So we've got Cummins as starter. We have Shep, which is probably the most likely if Caulfield or if O'Hanlon might be into. So let's say O'Hanlon is fit as well. So we've got Cummins, then Shep, then O'Hanlon, then Howard. How much, like, I don't see how Michael Howard's going to get a lot of game time. It smacks to me of a bit of a Nanetti signing, in the sense that there's quite a few people ahead of him. Yeah, fair enough, different circumstances. Howard is young, he's only on loan. But I just don't know how much we're actually going to see of him, unless he's this unbelievable talent that Preston are really, really excited about. And they've maybe said to City, listen, you have to play him 5 or 6 times a year, or a certain number of games in this position. I mean, he can play on the wing as well. So if needed, there's a backup there. I just don't know. Like, we will get a Shield Campion back as well in June once Howard's loan runs out. But it kind of astounded me really as to how exactly we're going to fit him in and where or when we're going to fit him in. Maybe a League Cup game.
Yeah, perhaps once Senior Cup, League Cup. We'll have to see. I mean, he's done enough to earn himself an 18-month professional contract with Preston North End, and I suppose City have sent quite a few players over at this stage. You know, you've Alan Brown, you've Sean Maguire and Kevin O'Connor that all went over. Graham Cummins is former Preston as well, let's not forget. So I suppose maybe there was talks. Preston said, look, we have this guy, he's young, he's done really well, but we want to get him out playing because he's not playing. What do you think you can do for us? I would be very surprised if there was any sort of ransom deal in the fact that City are forced or obliged to play him a certain amount of games, but I suppose it'll be up to Howard to prove that he's worthwhile himself and you know, to provide that sort of competition that we're hoping up front. We're certainly not full of options up front. I mean, I know you say Shepherd and O'Hanlon, but O'Hanlon is, you know, not exactly, you know, putting a huge stake in to be a first team player or to be a regular starter in pre-season. And Shepherd played really well the other night, but he seems to be a player that operates better out in the flanks as opposed to up front. And that's what the way he was utilised at that first game, which I think was telling as to the role that's envisaged for him for the 2018 season. So maybe Howard, if he has a good running training, I can't see why John wouldn't bring him on in the same way he did with Conor Ellis, certainly with 20 minutes, half an hour to go in games, particularly if we're winning games pretty comfortably. I presume he'll get his game time then.
Yeah, we will have to see when the situation occurs as to how well Howard actually does. We have breaking news. Well, we already have breaking news this week relating to our sponsorship fund for 2018. Obviously, Rebel Radio, a volunteer service, and run off our own backs for the last couple of years. But this year, the well is running dry. So we are still open to sponsorship. But Kev, I'm going to let you take us through, first of all, the news that we got during the week, and then some breaking news.
Yeah, breaking news. Well, I suppose, first of all, we've had some brilliant sponsors last year with Just for Keepers and Body Chef. We had the CCFC Exiles, and we, of course, had League_Ireland as the kind of title sponsor. The Exiles have come back on board. They will be... they have already raised money. I think, really, for me, it's kind of the sponsorship that kind of defines us. It's fantastic to have them on board. And, you know, I just a major thanks to Gav O'Leary and to everybody who've contributed towards it. Obviously, this is a service that we provide for them, so for them to back us is, you know, hugely gratifying for us. And the money does go a long way in terms of European games, in terms of you know, in terms of equipment, all that kind of stuff. It does go a long way. Also, we've received backing from the Cork City Supporters Liaison Officer, Alan Glantamy. Him and Dinny are giving us £90 for a half-season sponsorship, which hopefully will be extended to a full season. And obviously, again, for them to sponsor us two fan services, it only makes sense, really, for us to be kind of backing each other up, and for them to be giving us financial support, and for us to be able to go out and publicise what they're doing is fantastic. Corbett Court, the restaurant, they have two restaurants, both very much on the route to a lot of City's away games this season. If you're going to Sligo, or if you're going to Limerick, if you're going up towards Dublin, well worth coming off the road and checking them out. They have been around for a long time, Corbett Court, and have a big association with sport and also Cork City. They're delighted to be involved with us, and they're giving us a full season sponsorship. That's thanks to Claire Jones, who's a regular listener to us, and many thanks to those. And we will have news of another sponsorship coming up very shortly, but we're not in a position to announce that as of yet, but it is exciting stuff.
Intriguing. Right, we're going to move on to the rest of the league. The main stories coming out from the first weekend of action. I suppose starting in Dalymount Park and the latest edition of Shamrock Rovers Cup Final woes, losing 3-1 to arch-rivals Bohemians despite taking a 1-0 lead into the half-time break. And already there's pressure on Stephen Bradley. Three goals conceded in 18 second-half minutes, like, stopped them in their tracks. And for all the supposed football loves us videos, these brilliant videos they did in the off-season, Rovers played absolutely awfully in that game.
Yeah, it was an absolutely turgid game from everybody who watched it. Obviously, we were in it, of course, so we didn't see it live. But some of Alan O'Brien's excellent, I've referenced him before, his excellent analysis I read through the piece. Really congested first half. Players found it very, very difficult to get the ball out to, somebody who was in football a long time was talking to me this weekend about it and said, nobody took the responsibility in midfield to put their foot on the ball and to take control of it. And actually, I was kind of surprised because Greg Bulger is the sort of player that I thought would really do well in a game like that. He would really be the kind of guy who would, like the way he did for us, get himself on the ball, play a few passes around, try and open up the opposition. He looked like the guy that every time he was on the ball, he seemed to have that little bit of extra space. But obviously, wasn't able to impose himself on the match that he would have in the way that he would have liked. Second half, obviously better. I thought Rovers were fortunate with their first goal. Shane Supple kind of didn't really judge the overhead kick properly. He came off the post and it was just Ronan Finn who smashed it in. But particularly the third goal that Shamrock Rovers conceded, it was just a mess, like a terrible clearance. The Rovers defender was actually facing his own goal when he tried to head it. So even if he had gotten ahead of the post player, he wouldn't have made it. And then Horgan coming out and then staying in and then coming out and being caught in no man's land. It was just an atrocious goal to concede. I mean, if you conceded a goal like that at junior level, and I'm not talking about decent Pike Rovers junior level, I'm talking my level. Like, you get absolutely roasted by your manager for it. The goalkeeper get roasted for not coming out and dealing with it, or at least staying on his line. The defenders get roasted for not dealing with the high ball properly. That's just really, really basic errors. And, if I was a Shamrock Rovers fan coming away from that, I'd be very, very concerned.
Yeah, and I mean, all three goals coming from, well, set pieces. I'm gonna give the first one or second one to a set piece as well. Two corners, two headers from Dan Casey, and then the second goal from a goal kick, just one flick on. Paddy Cavanagh's in on the right hand side. Horgan again doesn't cover himself in glory, gets beaten quite easily at his near post. I mean, balls are flying. Balls will be absolutely delighted with that win. Full of confidence on it, heading out to Limerick now on Friday. We'll go through them games in a second, but like, you're already looking at Rovers and you're thinking, right, the last two seasons they finished 20 something points off the top and already they're smack bottom of the league. Yes, fine, one game in, probably gonna get a few results at home, but like, can they really afford another trophyless season? Well, Stephen Bradley certainly can, but can Rovers as a club survive another trophyless season?
Well, yeah, I think they can survive another trophyless season. I don't think Bradley will, as you said, but the club can, I think. But I think, Rovers, obviously, they've lost to Bowes. They now have Dundalk at home, which we'll talk about in a second. And then they travel to Turner's Cross to face us. Yeah. So that makes it very, very difficult. I don't know how, like I said... I thought that Rovers were going to lose. I thought they were going to, there was going to be a draw, 3-3, but I had kind of a sinking suspicion that Rovers were going to lose the game. I thought that Radley would be sent off. He managed to avoid that, but I would worry about Rovers. I think they're going to struggle in a big way. And another team that could potentially be struggling, other title rivals that we made points on last week, were Dundalk. They drew at home to Bray. That was a huge, probably the biggest surprise of the weekend, I'd say.
Yeah, comfortably. I'd actually backed Dundalk to win quite comfortably. But by most accounts, Bray could have easily have won that game as Dundalk had. A couple of unbelievable saves from Gary Rogers to stop Aaron Green and that the young lad, Corey Galvin. Had a magnificent effort, cut inside from the left hand side and just an absolute thunderbolt of a shot, and Rogers was just able to hold on to it. Yeah, Dundalk, like, for all their supposed amazing goal scoring stats last season and the season before that, they weren't really that clinical at all. And so a lot of that will come from the new signings and like the likes of Sam Byrne. He came on and didn't really do much, and you're just looking at like Hoban as well, and like Dylan Connolly. I don't know what they see in him anymore. he, like, by most accounts for people at the game, even Dundalk fans saying it, he is nothing more than pace. So if Dundalk are failing to break down Bray, yeah, fair enough, good defensive Bray performance. But then you're looking at these Dundalk. Like, Dundalk last season were blowing teams to shreds at times, and particularly the season before that as well. They got off to a slow start last year, and it cost them in towards the end when City started coughing. Like, if they can't, like, if they have a similar enough start this season, there's a high possibility that the exact same thing could happen. They're suddenly facing into a mid-season break, nowhere near the league.
Yeah, then you say, I suppose you referenced it last week after the President's Cup game and the potential pressure that could have on Stephen Kenny. But there wasn't that long ago where Dundalk were beating Bray, and I think it was 8-1, I think, at Oriel. And it's very strange to see how much they've struggled. I was expecting Hoban to have more of an impact than he has had in the last two games. I think they'll find their rhythm all right, but like as we say, this Rovers playing Dundalk now on Friday. It's a massive game because if either of those teams lose, they could find themselves 5 or 6 points behind the Rebel Army, and that's a huge gap to be behind after only two games.
Yeah, I mean, it's like that. Then suddenly Cork City are in the comfortable position that they can afford to lose games and still have something over Rovers or Dundalk. And like, that's not really disrespecting any of the other clubs like Bohemians or Waterford or Limerick that will be in between at this stage, but they're not going to be there when it comes to the crunch time in September, October. People are going to clip that last comment out in 4 or 5 months when Bohemians are battling for the title with City. But like, it's not reasonable for that to happen. So, like, City, as proven last season, fantastic front runners when they got, and when they click, when that front four get that back together and clicked, we saw a bit of it last week for the first 20 minutes for the first two goals. I mean, Shep to Cummins to McNamee, bang, goal. And then the second one, McNamee to Shep to Cummins, bang, goal. So, like, they're going to be teams, they're going to pick up a lot of points. And for Rovers of the Dock, whoever loses that game, if there is a loser, to be 5 or 6 points behind City at this stage of the season is huge. Kind of another team really impressive, well, I suppose given the circumstances on Friday, were Waterford at home to Derry. A monsoon in the RSC, credit to the volunteers who managed to get that game on. Impressive enough performance from them given the conditions, especially having gone 1-0 down as well. Winner was a fantastic goal.
Yeah, it was a smashing goal. Heary in the middle of it, he, gave it to Abora's back heel in towards Comerford, and then a square for O'Halloran, Dino O'Halloran. It was a really smashing goal. The type of goal you could see opening up any team in the League of Ireland, frankly. And I suppose, obviously, we're playing them now on Friday. We saw the kind of impact that Bastian Heary has had in terms of playing for Limerick that time we lost to them in the Markets Field and also in the FAI Cup semi-final. Dave, how much of an impact do you think he could potentially have on Friday night?
I can't see him having that much because Conor McCormack is already, last season obviously you mentioned him, leading the way. He's going to want his first home game of the season as champions. He's going to be captain, he's going to be leading the team out again. Yeah, Heary, fair enough, good game against us towards the end of last season. But also, didn't we beat Limerick quite comfortably at home in that season?
Yeah, well, when they were in the middle of that awful run, yes.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm sure Waterford are like really excited about him, but I can't imagine he's going to have any much more luck as he did at Turner's Cross this season than he did last season. He's not going to get much space if Garone Morrissey is back fit. He's going to have to do a lot of defensive work as well. And then if he does somehow get forward, he's got McCormack waiting for him. So, like, he could easily pick us apart again, but I can't see it happen.
What about, I suppose, another player for Waterford that I think could be very dangerous in the game, is Gavin Houlihan. Obviously, we had him touted as one of our kind of signings of the season, a lot of us coming from Galway over to Waterford. Scored again the other night?
Yeah, he did, and I suppose the old kind of fairy tale logic that he's coming back again, he's got a point to prove. He's been there before with Drogheda, but Drogheda not a very good football team, as was established last season. Waterford slightly a level above. He's well able to cross the ball as well. He's kind of that kind of player. We didn't really see it much with his time at City. if you give him 2 or 3 yards, he can pick a pass from anywhere. And if you give him 2 or 3 yards on the edge of the area, he's able to put that ball into the corner. So it all depends on how he comes up against the centre-back pairing, whoever it is. Probably Benno and Barry again, depending on injuries. There's no real fresh concern as far as I'm aware. So there are a lot of nippy young players, including Houlihan, like Makinade as well, is going to come forward. They could be a threat on the counter, perhaps. But it'll be interesting to see how Alan Reynolds sets his team out from the start, whether it's go out to win or go out not to lose.
Yeah, I would be of the opinion that it could potentially be go out not to lose, at least for the first hour, try and stifle City, try to frustrate them. How much does the loss of Cummins have an impact on the game on Friday?
It's obviously a major one. Well, maybe not a major, but it's important, because he is the best player, one of the best strikers we have, probably one of the best strikers in the league. Even from 26 minutes last week, you could see that he was getting into the position, he had to know how he's a step ahead from everyone else. I don't know who's going to start up front. I'm going to presume it'll be Shep, and we might see McNamee out onto the wing, and Kjohan or someone, if Morrissey starts, Kjohan into the hole. I don't know if it's that important because we have the backups. We have the midfield three, Sanyer, McNamee, Shepherd. They're all going to get a bit of space at some stage. We do have the quality there to tear teams apart even without a recognised striker, if you get me anymore, because obviously Shep's on the wing. Maybe we might see Howard, maybe. I don't know. Is O'Hanlon confirmed out?
O'Hanlon is confirmed by John Caulfield, yeah.
Okay, right. So then you are looking at Shep and maybe Howard off the bench. Or sadly, or even maybe giving a run up front as well. All of them are well able to score goals, so it's not a case that we're going to be lacking in that department. It's just maybe perhaps the strength and the awareness of Cummins that we're going to miss.
It's interesting, that discussion, because we our Rebel Referendum, hashtag Rebel Referendum this week, asks that question in terms of, do City need to sign another player before the end of the transfer window? We'll give you the results. Gary Fitzroy got in and said, we need a striker. If Cummins is injured or suspended like Friday, there's little cover. 76% of people say yes, and 24% of people say no. Obviously, that was conducted before the Michael Howard signing.
Yeah, so I don't know how many will have voted again if we put it up tonight. And they probably be similar enough results because Michael Howard probably wasn't what they were looking for. I think we're all agreed in the sense that City are going to win. I've been the most outlandish of the three by saying we're going to win 3-0 in the terms that we're scoring 3 goals. Where they're going to come from, I'm going to say Sadler is a field day here. 1, perhaps 2, and then maybe a set piece, Benno perhaps.
Yeah, I've just quickly changed.
I saw that.
At the last minute, I had 2-0 put down originally, but I've been thinking about it since our discussion, and 2-1, I think Waterford are going to score. I think it could very well be 2-0, 1-1, and City to score late. Dave says, will not accept 2-0 in the case that it happens. So, our prediction league, I'm down as 2-1. I'm happy enough with that. I feel more comfortable with 2-1. Cullen being conservative as ever has gone for a 1-0 victory.
Cautious cuts. Bowes heading off the back of their best result of the season. I think undoubtedly, no matter what happens in the remaining 30-something games, they're heading to Markets Field. Limerick got a great away win against Sligo on Saturday evening, by most counts, a deserved one. I think that Bowes are going to be riding that wave, though. I reckon they get an efficient and a clinical away win. I've gone for 2-1. Neither of you agree with me?
No, I've gone with 1-1. I think Bowes are definitely showing signs of improvement, but I think a Dublin derby, they're always going to get themselves up for a little bit more.
Fair.
It's harder to get yourself up against Limerick at a half sparsely Markets Field, and I think Limerick seem to be that game against Sligo again. Alan O'Brien, I looked at his piece on it, and it seemed to be a long ball affair. Two agricultural teams playing agricultural football, and Limerick scoring from a set piece. So didn't exactly sound like they set the world alight, but I think Limerick will have enough to I think that Limerick will be slightly different at home than they are away this season, and I think they'll be better. And I went for a 1-1 draw.
Yeah, in terms of the Limerick Sligo game, it was kind of on the Friday night, everyone was like, okay, which game will be the one that is the standard League of Ireland opener between two cagey teams? And it turned out to be the Saturday night one between Limerick and Sligo. Yeah. Coates has gone for a home win. He thinks Limerick will get off their season to Marcusfield with 3 points. But he's gone in the terms of scoreline with me. He says 2-1 Limerick. I said 2-1 Bulls. Kind of danced around this one a bit already. Rovers and Dundalk and Tala. Loser. I don't think either side will want to lose this game. So I think I'm quite confident in my 1-1 prediction. You've gone for, I suppose, similar enough logic with a 0-0 draw. I don't think there needs to be much more established than that. I'm like, Stephen Kenny won't want to be 5 points behind. Stephen Bradley definitely won't want to be 5 points behind, potentially, of course. But if Bohemians win, they're 6 points behind Bohemians already. And that's kind of what Rovers measured themselves against in the early half of the season. So like, this screams draw.
Yeah, it's going to be two teams who are going to be so petrified of conceding they won't try and go forward and scoring. And I'm glad that the game isn't on TV, because you know, you talked last week about Rovers and Bows, that kind of typical League of Ireland slugfest, nil all written all over it. This is exactly how I think this is going to go. I think it's just going to be a very forgettable game between two teams desperately trying to get some confidence going forward into the season.
Coates has gone for an away win, which is interesting, based off Dundalk's failure to really finish off Bray Wanderers. Maybe there might be a rocket up there, as the old phrase goes. Moving on to this is a sly one, really. Bray against Pats in the Carlisle grounds. Pats last week, if they had a striker like even Kieran Saturday, if they had a striker up front like Cummins or Sad here, they would easily have won that game. But the fact that they went an hour plus of a match without being able to win it, obviously, yes, score twice, fair enough, with an extra man, but you're looking, if Cork City played an hour with an extra man and couldn't score three goals, you'd be really questioning it, especially at home to someone. Bray, resolute, great defending, positive results against Dundalk in Oriel Park. Not a lot of teams are going to take points from Dundalk this year away from home. So this is a real, I couldn't split these two. I've gone for a 2-2 draw. Yourself and Cuds agree, though, in the sense that Pats did enough last week to impress you both.
Yeah, I think Pats are markedly improved on what I saw last season, and I think I'm revising my opinions of them based on what I saw. What I saw last week, I think they have a huge amount of attacking flair going forward. I think Owen Garvin showed in the game last week, if he's given a bit of space to kind of deadly, you know, penetrative balls, he can play, and I think he'll get that space against Bray. I think Pats will come away. It won't be an easy one for them, but I can see them coming away with a win. I've gone for 1-0.
Yeah, Coates has gone for a bit more. I'd said 3-0. Fair play to him if he gets it right, but he won't. Finishing it off, Sligo and Derry, the fixture that was originally scheduled for the Brandywell, but it hasn't been completed in time. So the reverse game in April will be switched to the Brandywell then. But this time it's in the showgrounds. I don't know how Derry will do on a pitch that isn't waterlogged. It's a Northwest derby, so there's going to be a little bit of bite to it. I've gone for a 1-1 draw, primarily because it's so early in the season that I can't really judge teams that well. If you ask me this again in April, I'll have a better kind of opinion on it, but I just reckon it's a 1-1 draw.
Yeah, I think I saw the Sligo highlights, I saw the Derry highlights. I'm only taking from highlights and kind of the breakdown of Sligo's game against Limerick. Alan O'Brien was pretty, I wouldn't say harsh, but certainly very damning on Gerard Little in his piece. And Sligo's attack, or lack of any sort of attacking options in terms of their off-season signings. I think Sligo are really going to struggle this year, based on from what I'm hearing from up there. And I think that Derry could come away pretty comfortably in this one. I think they're unlucky not to at least get a point out of the RSC. They were undone by a fantastic bit of football, and I think Gerard Hardy made a bit of a mistake for the O'Hoolahan goal as well. So I can see Derry challenging. I can see Derry getting European football again this season, and when it comes to Sligo. I think they'll come away fairly easy victors.
Yeah, so I've gone draw, you've gone away win, Cullum naturally has gone for a home win, so we're all different. You're already chasing me in the predictions table, because last week I got Waterford and Derry spot on at 2-1. Thankfully it wasn't called off, or else we'd all be on nothing. But I think apart from that...
I've a bone to pick here though. Why are you on 3?
Oh, it's 3 points for a correct score, nothing for anything else.
No, I thought it was like 1 for a point for a correct score.
Yeah, but
then
look at the last three. Look at how well that's gone the last 3 seasons. We've always forgotten about it. So it's just 3 points for a correct score.
So David's just changing the rules to suit himself here.
Says he who changed his prediction at the last minute. Yeah. Okay. I think that's really it from Rebel Leanne this week. And remember, follow us on Twitter at our presenters, at Rebel Radio CCFC on Facebook and Snapchat. And keep an eye on our YouTube channel. We'll have a bit more going up there. So, Kev, to close out the show, who's got the best beard in the Cork City squad?
Easily Mark McNulty.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Right, that's it for episode 3. Bye.
Bye.
This week, if Graham Cummins was a jelly bean, what flavour would he be? Yeah, I'd go for a lemon in green flavour because he's got quite sharp things. Oh, I need a better closing question then. I need to think quick. I'm not going to think it on the spot. Right. Okay, I think I've got it.